Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our readings today are taken from Mark 11 verses 1 to 11 and 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 9. We come to the last of Lent reflections entitled Everyone, Everywhere, Growing in Faith. The talk is by Edward Hoskins, Methodist lay reader, as he reflects on the letter H for hope.
Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter and the first 11 verses. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Our second New Testament reading is from Peter's first letter to the Christians in the northern part of Asia Minor. Peter was considered to be the leader of the apostolic group, an important and influential man in the early church. He writes his letter to comfort believers and to encourage them to stay strong. He urges them to put all their hope in their perfect future with Christ and to obey and trust him in the present, even in their suffering. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, as already mentioned, this is the last week of our series on the word growth. I'm tempted to test you as to whether you can remember the themes of each of those. I must confess I've not been to all of them. I've been at churches, other places, and other things have happened. But today, we're exploring hope. In the whole context of growth, in the growth of our Christian faith, in the growth of our understanding of what God's promised for us. So imagine that day, or rather perhaps imagine a different day. Imagine if you might have been at the Queen's Jubilee celebrations in London, or imagine that you might be going to the coronation in May. Imagine that excitement, the waving of flags. We've waved flags this morning. We know what it's sort of like in that sort of big ceremony. And say it's a Palm Sunday, it's a bit like that sort of royal event where most people are just quite excited just at seeing the person who's there. Imagine going to see Prince Charles, King Charles, you know, in May. Imagine that excitement of perhaps just seeing him and thinking, yes, there he is, you know, in all his regalia, in all the sort of splendor. And so it talks about Jesus coming in splendor. And as we've heard, it talks about the people saying things like, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They're really looking forward to this new kingdom, something new that's happening. And they sing, Hosanna. Now, I don't think we've said this morning what Hosanna means. Hosanna, this Hebrew word, really just means save us. And so we've got, if you like, the Hebrew and the English there, just to make us understand it. People are shouting, save us. But they're shouting, save us, in sort of almost two different ways. They're shouting, save us, in a sort of, please save us. We're looking forward to you, to expecting you to save us. But they're almost saying it in a praising way. We said that they're saying Hosanna in praise, in acclamation of Jesus' coming. And they're saying it in a sense of thank you. We're thanking you almost in advance. We know you're coming to save you. We have complete hope. We have complete reliance on the fact that you are coming as our king to save us. And they see him as a king in the same sense as former kings. And we have in the prophet Zechariah, he says, see your king comes riding in a donkey. So they can relate to the fact that here is someone coming in as they see his king. You might think of a king needing to ride a sort of big war horse. But in the Jewish concept, the understanding of former kings came on a donkey. And the throwing down of their cloaks, again, if you read in the book of Kings, in I think it's 2 Kings, they put down their cloaks to welcome kings coming into Jerusalem. And so they shout Hosanna. It's a cry to save us, it's a request, but it's also said an expectation. So it's a please and it's a thank you. And it's a thank you because they're expecting their kingdom of Israel to be restored. It's a thanks in the sense of delight, but it's also expectation. And maybe an expectation that this new king who's coming is a king who will get rid of the Romans, restore the prosperity and the status of Israel, and get rid of the occupation of the Romans. That may have been in their minds. So when we think of the word hope, it's a word that we sometimes use in different ways. At one end, it's almost like a wish. I wish it would stop raining. Oh, it has stopped raining. But we don't really have much control over that. It's just a sort of wishful, we'd hope that it might stop raining. It might be more of a heartfelt desire. And if I can put an emotion into this, it might have been, oh, I wish she'd go out with me. I'm hoping that she'll, go out with me and, be a partner or whatever. So it's a desire, it's a heartfelt thing. Sometimes it's more of an expectation in the sense of almost an assumption. You get on a bus and you hope it's going to stop at the right stop for you. It's going to go on the right route. It's almost it's an assumed thing. But it's still a sort of hope. You've got no control over it. You rely on the bus driver, and you just get on with an expectation, a high level of expectation. And then certainty. Well, is certainty hope? Well, in our concept of the word hope, there's always a little bit of doubt, and maybe the better word is confidence. But you have a high level of confidence. But you see there's a whole sort of range of sort of the way we use the word hope. And maybe I say it's perhaps not right to say that certainty is one of those. just come back to those ideas again in a minute. But when Jesus came in triumphantly in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and everyone had this high level of hope when he was crucified, a lot of those same people suddenly felt hopeless. They felt their expectation, their certainty in their minds at that day when they were waving their flags and saying, yes, come and restore Israel. They felt hopeless. And they wondered what it had all been about. When you plant a seed, so this is a piece of maize, sweet corn, you don't expect it to fail. Surely all of us who are gardeners or who plant seeds, whether it's flowers or fruit and vegetables or whatever, you plant it with an expectation that it won't deliver something as terrible as that, but you get some bountiful crop, and we have high expectation that we're going to get a nice cob of corn. And when we plant it, we expect it to be corn and not a tomato. You know, we have some understanding of what that seed of hope was going to become. And when you plant it, in addition to just that hope that your corn, your maize, would come into something bountiful, you also have an idea that if you don't look after it, you may get that field of desolation, that it's ruined. So you need to care for it. You need to water it. You need to feed it. You need to watch out for pests and diseases. Because you want to get that beautiful thing at the end. You don't want it to fail. You don't want it to be a failed crop. And in a way, so it is with our spiritual hopes. We have to consider that what seeds have been sown in our spiritual lives. We need to nurture our faith. We need to look after our faith. We need to care for our faith with the nourishment of Scripture so that we understand what has been planted within us. We need to care for our souls through prayer and our relationship with God and care and nurture our souls and help those develop. We need to particularly watch out for the pests and diseases, the pests of earthly temptations, maybe the diseases caused by evil, things in our lives that steer us away from God. And so we can still have hope, but there's a certain responsibility that we nurture our faith, our growth. And as this series is about growth, as we grow our faith, we need to nurture that faith. And don't just say, oh, the seed's been planted, it will come to fruition. But take some responsibility ourselves for making sure that our faith does grow in the right way and that we keep away from the pests and diseases. And so hope is a way of thinking. It's a state of being. It's an attitude. It's a case of, yes, understanding the seeds that have been sown and having confidence. And it's not an emotion in the sense of just wishful thinking. It's an actual state of confidence, if you like. And so we talk about Christian hope. It's that confident expectation that God will deliver what he's promised. And we sometimes talk about the sure and certain hope of resurrection. Particularly, that phrase is often used in funeral services. Where someone has died, we are reassured, we are told that we should have that sure and certain hope of resurrection. This picture amuses me. It amused Dorothy when I showed her. And Dorothy particularly said, has that woman come with a hot water bottle? Because it shows her because it suggests that it's still morning. I think it's really a bottle of perfume. But nonetheless, it did sort of amuse us. But it's in the same sort of series as the ones I showed earlier. So these women, when they arrived at the tomb of Jesus, they came with sadness in their hearts because they're expecting to come and anoint the body. But they found the door of the tomb open. And so we had these phrases in our reading this morning. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so our hope, the seeds that have been planted in our hearts, the seeds of faith that we have, come to this living hope through resurrection. And I particularly like this phrase, for you are receiving the end result of your faith. And so again, think of seeds of faith being planted in you. Think of the growth of your faith, the nurturing of your faith that you have taken care through your study of Scripture, through your fellowship groups, through your prayer, that you've nurtured your faith, you've looked after your faith, and the end result of your faith being the salvation of your souls. And that's what we have hope in. We have hope in this salvation of our souls. Where am I going now? Yes. So I then jump to Romans. We didn't have this text this morning, but I think it helps us particularly when I'm talking about nurturing our faith, the hope we have that God will care for us, the hope we have that God will teach us such that we have an understanding of the hope that we can have in him. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And so we have this hope from our understanding of the seeds that have been planted, our understanding of the promise of God. We can't, as I say, we can't hope for tomatoes if we plant maize. And so we have to understand what God has promised us. We have to study, we have to understand the scriptures. And through those scriptures, we can gain that encouragement so that we may have hope. I think I've just jumped a bit. Hold on. Yes, I'm down there. So, as I was saying, so let us nurture our faith such that we can have confidence in what God has promised us, that we can have that sure and certain hope, not just that sure and certain hope in resurrection, in that future resurrection, but the sure and certain hope that God is with us. Whatever we endure, we all endure difficulties in life. We all have times when our faith is perhaps not very strong or we feel challenged, but we can grow in trust with God in that through all that we endure. We can understand his promises that he loves us as his children. How great that is, that the creator of earth and heaven and everything, that the might of God loves each of us as his child. He forgives us whatever we've done. He forgives us. If we would just turn to him, he'll forgive us and accept us despite our failings. Later in Peter's first epistle, he says, "Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to our shepherd who is the guardian of our souls." Whatever we've done, if we turn to him, he will protect our souls, our inner being. But let us not just be content that God is our guardian, that God is the guardian of our souls. Let us also seek to help those who have lost hope. We know of many people who have lost hope through certain situations in this world, through difficulties they endure, whether people here alongside us now or people outside in community or elsewhere in the world, there are a lot of people who don't have hope. They've lost hope in the future. So let us not only be content that God is the guardian of our souls, let us also seek to help those who have lost hope. Help them to understand the message of God. And we don't need to repeat the whole of the scriptures to them, but just express the love of God, to share God's love with them, to help them in their journey, that we can bring hope to them as well, that they can have hope in Jesus, our shepherd. And then we come to this powerful statement here: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow in hope." To have so much hope, not just hope for yourself, but hope for people you are alongside, hope for people who you know are feeling hopeless, who are feeling in despair. You overflow in so much hope, so much confidence, if you like, so much certainty that God is with us, that God loves each of us, that God loves everyone we rub shoulders with, that God is there for everyone, that we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I suppose if we're thinking of the church year, we have to move through Easter. We have to move through, in a way, from the joy. It's already Nigel. Couldn't think of the name on the spot. I'm terrible at remembering names quickly. Thank you, Nigel. You understood. As Nigel said, there's these highs and lows. You go through the high. I think it was you who just said that earlier. Someone said it. You go through the highs of Hosanna, yes, welcome, you know, thank you for coming to save us. Oh dear, but perhaps you haven't saved us. Oh, you haven't done what I expected you to. And oh great, yes, wonderful, you've died for us and you've been resurrected and the tomb is empty and you're with us and we understand it all. And you go through these highs and lows. Everyone goes through these highs and lows, but let us get to the point in the in the Christian story of then you come to Pentecost, a few weeks away yet, when the Holy Spirit comes in power. And through that power of the Holy Spirit, may we all overflow with hope. Not only hope for ourselves, hope for our brothers and sisters, hope for our neighbors, hope for the nation, hope for the world, hope for the salvation of the world where everyone comes to know of that love of God. That we are so overflowing with hope that we have the confidence ourselves and the confidence to express that hope to those around us. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.